God, we thank you for breath and life and all that you give us. Help us be ready to catch our breath in the midst of difficult times and times when we feel dried up and alone. In your name we pray. Amen. Breath. Every moment of every day of our lives, breath gives us this gift. In and out. Go ahead. Take a deep breath right now. Breathe in deeply. Feel your body fill and expand, bringing life-giving oxygen to your blood and energy to every cell of your being. And breathe out. Feel your body relax as your breath leaves you. Every moment of every day of your lives, your body provides this life-giving rhythm. In and out, breath and life. Yet we hardly notice it at all, do we? Not until we don't have enough of it. If you have ever had pneumonia, or an anxiety attack, or extreme stress, or suffered a heart attack, you may know all too well of trying to live without enough breath. Now, thankfully, when physical conditions fail us, there are medical interventions to help us. But that doesn't always address the underlying condition. Because it's not just physical conditions that can leave us breathless. There are plenty of events in our lives where we are left feeling literally or figuratively without air. A loved one who struggles with addiction is not just suffocating him or herself, but everyone around them too. In our work lives, the mantra of do less with more is pushing many to the brink, where so many other life-giving elements of the work week are pushed to the margins, and the margins are simply evaporating. And there are plenty of things that happen in our world that make me want to cry out, I can't breathe. Not because I feel oppressed or imposed upon as a white, straight, economically secure male. My kind are doing just fine. But I can't help but notice that so many others aren't. And that there is little or no will to actually do things that will make it easier for many people to breathe. Immigrants and refugees, people of color, LGBT people, folks with disabilities, and women. Lately, it seems like about every corner of our world seems to be curved in on itself, retreating to various forms of tribalism and self-preservation. It feels like the connective tissues that hold the whole human community together is suffering atrophy and coming apart. In the Old Testament, the word ruach is used for breath and wind and spirit. There is no distinction. The breath that flows in and out of us every moment of our lives is the same as the Spirit of God that moves in and through all of creation, and the same as the wind that brings the rain on our fields and the northwest wind in the wintertime. Ruach does not belong to us. It's a gift from God. It is the connective tissue that holds all things individually and collectively together with God. When we ignore any of these connections, there are consequences. Things dry up. People suffer. We suffer, even if we are not directly affected. That's what was going on in ancient Israel Ezekiel was a priest and prophet who was called to breathe life back into God's people at a time when they were deeply disconnected. They were living in exile in Babylon, but they were coming apart long before they left their homeland. Israel and Judah had rebelled against God for generations. They had ignored the ways of God. They fought amongst themselves, became arrogant and careless about how they treated one another. Their carelessness eventually left them dried up, scattered like bones across an empty valley. They didn't realize what they had become until it was too late. The exile from Jerusalem was a tangible reminder of how dry and breathless God's people really were. And so in a vision, Ezekiel prophesies to these bones, and they come together. But they did not live until they had God's breath, God's Ruach. 11 times in 14 chapters, God names the Ruach, the breath, the spirit, the wind that comes from God and gives life to all living things. God says to Ezekiel, "These bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We are cut off completely.'" Old Testament professor Rolf Jacobson calls these words a lament. It's a complaint that they are not as they ought to be. But I hear in these words also a confession. A confession that admits that they have hit rock bottom, and the only way forward is to allow God to breathe new life into them again and to seek a new way into the future. As difficult as exile may be, maybe that is one of God's purposes for it, is to provide space to see how our actions and the actions of others steal life away from us and from others in so many forms. See, God meets us in these exile places. God doesn't wait for us to figure it all out and come tromping home ready to celebrate with God. Rather, God helps us catch our breath when we need it most, while still in exile, so that we can find that new way home. The addict destroying his life or her life may need an exile before they finally land with a thud at rock bottom and reach out for treatment and reconciliation. The person who feels lost and heavy burdened in their work may feel as though they're in exile, but there they may find courage to tell their boss what is breaking their spirit so they can find life in their work again. The couple who has isolated themselves from one another for years might name the exile they find themselves in and determine what has to die in their relationship and honestly seek ways for them to live together and breathe again. As a nation, as a society, it feels like we are living in exile lately because we have forgotten who we are and to whom we belong. The intense divisions of political ideology have knocked the wind out of us. They have distracted us from what is most important. The quest for power and control by any means necessary in every political party is sucking the life out of the liberty and justice that is claimed for all. There are times in life when things need to dry up and die. There are times when we need to leave behind old patterns and habits and relationships so that we can live a fuller life into the future. But the only way that we can see this new future is to trust that God is there waiting to breathe new life into us. To trust that we are not alone in those exiles. Friends, in this season of Advent, we hold our breath, waiting, longing to breathe in the fresh breath, the Ruach of God's promise to make a home among us. God does not leave us here in exile. The God who breathed life into Adam and Eve in the garden and breathed new life into those bones in the valley meets us in the disconnected, dry places in our lives with this promise. I shall cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Amen.